Just as he expected sharp teeth to sink into his flesh, the chorus of steamy exhalations was drowned out by the roar of powerful engines. Through water-blurred eyes, he saw sun reflecting off a boat's hull. Hands reached down to grab his arms. His knees banged painfully against the hard plastic side of the boat, and he flopped onto the deck like a landed fish. A man was bending over him. "Are you okay?" Austin gulped in a lungful of air and thanked the unknown Samaritan for his help. "What's going on?" the man said. "A whale attacked me." "Well, that's impossible," the man said. "They're like big friendly dogs. Tell that to the whales." Austin scrambled to his feet. He was on a well-appointed powerboat around 30 feet long. The man who had pulled him from the water had a shaved bald head with a spider tattoo on the scalp. Set into the deck behind the man was a strange, cone-shaped metal framework about 6 feet high. Thick electrical cables sprouted from the framework like vines. Austin stared at the weird construction for a second, but he was more interested in what was happening out on the water. The pod of orcas that had chased him like a pack of hungry sea wolves was swinging away from the boat and was now closing in fast on the other kayak racers. Even more frightening, other pods of whales had appeared around the kayak flotilla and were gathering around for the kill. The racers were unaware of the sharp-toothed danger headed their way. Many of them had paddled the Sound and knew that the orcas were harmless. Austin grabbed the boat's steering wheel. "Hope you don't mind," he said as he punched up the throttle. The man's reply was lost in the roar of twin outboard motors. The boat quickly got up on plane. Austin pointed the bow at the narrowing gap between the kayakers and the moving fins. He hoped that the noise of the engines and hull would disrupt the orcas. His heart sank when the whales split into two groups and went around him, still intent on their targets. He knew orcas communicated with each other to coordinate their attacks. Within seconds, the pod hit the kayak fleet like a spread of torpedoes. They rammed the light boats with their huge bodies. Several kayaks went over and their passengers were thrown into the water. Austin slowed the boat's speed and steered between the bobbing heads of children and their parents and the knife-like orca fins. The situation was too chaotic for it to be of any help. Austin saw one of the tallest fins bearing down on a man who was floating in the water holding his young daughter in his arms. Austin would have to run over the other kayakers to get to them. He turned to the boat's owner. "Do you have a rifle spear gun on board?" The bald man was fiddling frantically with an instrument box that was connected to the framework by a cable. He looked up from what he was doing and shook his head. "It's okay," he said. "Look." He pointed toward the mass of overturned kayaks. The big fin had stopped moving. It remained stationary, playfully wobbling in place, only feet from the man and his daughter. Then it began to move away from the broken kayaks and their hapless paddlers. The other fins followed. The surrounding pods that had been closing in broke off their attack and meandered back into the open waters. The big bull breached in a high, playful leap. Within minutes, none of the orcas was in sight. A young boy had become separated from his parent. His flotation vest must have been donned improperly because his head was slipping below the surface. Austin climbed up on the gunwale and launched his body into the air. He hit the water in a shallow racing dive and stroked his way to the boy. He reached him just before he went under. Austin treaded water, holding the youngster's head above the surface. He only had to wait a few moments. A rescue boat had launched its inflatable life rafts, and racers were being plucked from the water. Austin handed the boy up to his rescuers and pivoted in the water. The bald man and his boat had disappeared.